The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On another occasion, Jesus began to teach by the sea. A very large crowd gathered around him, so that he got into a boat on the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on land. And he taught them at length in parables. And in the course of his instruction, he said to them, "Hear this. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched and withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it produced no grain. And some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit. It came up and grew and yielded 30 and 60 and 100-fold. He added, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." And when he was alone, those present along with the 12 questioned him about the parables. He answered them, "The mystery of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to those outside everything comes in parables, so that they may look and see but not perceive, and hear and listen but not understand, in order that they may not be converted and be forgiven." Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word was sown. As soon as they hear, Satan comes at once and takes away the word sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, who, when they hear the word, receive it at once with joy. But they have no roots. They last only for a time. Then when tribulation and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Those sown among thorns are another sort. They are the people who hear the word, but worldly anxiety, the lure of riches, and the craving for other things intrude and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But those sown on rich soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. The Gospel of the Lord. Question for you here this afternoon. How many parables did Jesus teach? Sounds like a very simple question, but the fact of the matter is it's really not simple, because the answer depends on what counts as a parable. To be a parable, does Jesus have to tell a whole entire story? If you think that's what a parable has to be, then Jesus taught either 30 or 46 parables, depending on how long you think the story needs to be to count. Others say that every time Jesus uses an image of any sort, that counts as a parable. And by that count, there are as many as 250 parables in the space of the four Gospels. It's one of those things that people debate when they're studying Scripture, you know, at a slightly more advanced level. But there's one thing nobody debates, and that is that there's only two parables so important that Jesus himself explains them to us, and you just heard one of them right here, the parable of the sower and the seed. Now, there's two ways that we understand this parable. And the first goes something like this. If the seed is the word of God, then you're the soil. Now, you're tempted to think that that only means that there's four different kinds of people out there who receive the word of God. Some falls on the path, and some falls on rocky ground, and some falls among thorns, and some falls on good soil. But in our tradition, it's a bit deeper than that. We've always understood that all four of those responses are present within each one of us. So let's take a close look at each one of those four responses, shall we? So a sower went out to sow the seed, and some seed fell on the path where the birds came and ate it up. And Jesus says, this is what happens when Satan takes the word of God out of your heart before it has a chance to bear fruit. There's a very, very important spiritual lesson in that for us. Namely, everyone, and I mean everyone, needs to include in their prayer time some way in which they are meditating, reflecting on the scriptures, the word of God, and praying about how they apply that to their lives, being concrete and specific about it. This is an ancient prayer technique called Lectio Divina, and I hope that all of you already know everything about Lectio Divina, and you can teach me some things about Lectio Divina when Mass is over, but just in case you don't, you know what Lectio Divina is? It's taking a very, very small part of Scripture, maybe even just a few words, and sticking with it, and praying about it. And it goes something like this. One of my favorite examples for Lectio Divina comes from Psalm 34. And Psalm 34 begins by saying, "I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise always on my lips." Stop right there and pray. Am I really blessing the Lord at all times? Is God's praise always on my lips? Heck no. And that's what I need to pray about. When things don't go well, when I hit red lights instead of green, when people are difficult or new problems arise, or one problem seems to follow after another, that's when I need to turn to God, at least in my prayer time, and say, "God, help me to believe that you're just as good when things seem to be going wrong as when things seem to be going right. In fact, you're probably even more good at those moments. Help me to have that kind of faith, Lord." And then in the course of the day, you do. Or another line from Psalm 34 that I really love. "Look to the Lord that you might be radiant with joy." So you stop right there and you pray about it. Am I radiant with joy? Is that how I would describe myself? Is that how others would describe me? No. No. Well, maybe the reason is that I'm not looking to the Lord, because the scriptures say, "Look to him and you'll be radiant with joy." Maybe I'm looking at my bank account. Maybe I'm looking at what other people think of me. Or maybe I'm always looking at the news. But whatever it is, I'm not looking at the Lord, and that's a problem. God, come and help me. That's Lectio Divina, okay? That's how you make sure that the word doesn't get snatched up before it does any good for you. God's word, be careful. Don't be superficial. Second kind of soil. Some seed falls among rocky ground where it withers for lack of roots. So let's think about roots for just a moment. What do roots do for a plant? Well, they give it nourishment, right? Keep it alive. And they anchor the plant against storms and upheavals. Well, we need roots too. And here's where we have to be careful. Be careful that the faith you receive is rooted and not lacking in roots. Be careful that the faith you receive and believe is the same faith that's been handed down through all generations, from the saints, through the ages, because that's the real faith. Now, especially in these days, now pardon me, I'm not going to get too specific in this because I don't want to blame people, but there's people, and they're even teaching in the name of the church, things that blatantly contradict what we've always believed. I don't want to tell you, if your faith isn't rooted in what we've received, if you don't have that ability to discern what contradicts what we've always believed, you're not going to make it. No roots, you're going to fall away in times of persecution, fall away in times of tribulation, but even more, you're not going to have any nourishment in your spiritual life. You won't bear any fruit. Be careful. Make sure that your faith is the same faith that the saints believed. Here's a third kind of soil. Some soil falls among thorns where it's choked off before it grows. And Jesus says, these are those who are allured by the appeal of riches and things of the world. Can I give you a rather frightening idea to go home and pray about? If the devil can't get you to sin, he will spend all of his time trying to make you fruitless and mediocre. Notice, Jesus does not say those who go out and commit mortal sins didn't bear any fruit. Those who did fornication and adultery and all the rest. Not that those things are good. That does kill your life. After all, they're called mortal sins for a reason. But all you need to do is lose your focus, and you won't bear any fruit. All you need to do is lose your focus, and you'll be killed at the root. Spend your life absorbed with the love of money and the love of the things of the world, and the life of God will be choked to death. Be careful. Be careful that you're not allowing the things of the world to occupy the place in your heart that should belong to God alone. And then lastly, he says, some seed falls on good soil, and this is good news for all of us, because when we're trying to do God's work, there's always this impression that we're not making any difference, right? You know what I'm talking about. No difference in my life, I'm not getting any better. No difference in anybody else's life, I'm not helping anybody else. And here's what Jesus needs to reassure us. Listen to what he says. Don't listen to what your heart thinks. Jesus says, he who abides in me will bear much fruit. And here he says 30 and 60 and 100 fold. What does it mean to abide in the Lord? It means that as best you're able, your mind is on trying to do God's work, and your heart is on trying to do God's work during all your waking hours. You can't constantly be deliberately paying attention to it, but you would if somebody tapped your shoulder and reminded you. That's abiding in the Lord. Jesus says, rest easy. And trust me, you bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100 fold. Now, there's one other way that people look at this passage, and I'm going to do this really briefly, and that is you don't see yourself as the soil, but rather you see yourself as the sower. The seed is the word of God, and you know, we all sow the seed, don't we? Priest does it from the pulpit, but you do it in your own way, in your own life, friends, family, all these things. A little bit of wise counsel from our Lord here. Keep in mind that you must not judge your success by worldly standards. You sow the seed and four different things happen. Three of them are bad, okay? 25% return on investment. You've been warned. You're going to sow the seed, and three times out of four, it's not going to bear good fruit. Don't lose heart. When you set yourself about God's business, you don't judge your success the same way you judge it in worldly terms. There's no bottom line. There's no annual accountability. We aren't concerned about success. That's not our concern. Our concern is to be faithful. That's it. Success and failure, those are God's terms in God's time, and it might not even happen while you're alive. Some of the fruit you bear, much of the fruit you bear, might happen after you're already gone. Doesn't matter. I'm not concerned about success. I'm concerned about one thing only. I'm concerned about being faithful. So be faithful as you sow the seed, and don't worry about what other people say or what they think. You can expect a lot from the Word of God, and God only asks one thing in return, that you hear and believe, believe and act. Amen.